This April the 20th picks edition of the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com. Use the promo code MLBSGPN and get a 100% deposit match. Plus, for the NFL draft coming up, old-fashioned football, giving away some autographed NFL merch. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFFcontest to enter today. And we're giving away $200 cash in our NBA playoff round one prop contest. Sign-up link is in our NBA channel on the Discord. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, coming to you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is Friday, April the 19th, and we are here to poke our heads around the full slate of action for Saturday, April the 20th. Joining me is Mr. Scott Reichel. Scott, hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, doing pretty well. Been busy with basketball and tennis, but looking forward to some baseball.
Yeah, is the NBA something's happening today? Is it the play-in tournament? Is it a tournament, yeah, playing games?
Yeah, it's the final day of the play-in tournament, and the actual playoffs start on Saturday. So,
you see, I'm getting better.
I'm impressed.
It's low down a little. I'll probably hit you for some picks later on then, so we can have a little... Have a little look. Callum, our Premier League man, has stumbled into the chat again. That's twice this week Callum's found himself in here. Hello, Callum. How are you? There's no Friday night football tonight. There was a League One game or something, so Callum's obviously looking for a little bit of sporty chat. What we're going to do tonight is similar to what myself and Scott did last Friday, which is have a bounce around the card. I've picked four or five things that I like. Scott's done the same. We will touch on every game, even if it's just to say... there's nothing much that we like. I think 12 of the 15 games are on the board, so there are bits and bobs going on. There's been one game already. AJ Puck, day-to-day, Scott. I assume you filled your boots already?
Yeah, the only concern was that Tyone was pitching, and I don't really like him either.
No, it was his first wasn't appearance, a concern.
But, yeah, game flew over. Puck's terrible. Nothing really changes, so can't complain.
Well, I didn't think Tyone was a concern at all. I was looking forward to seeing him pitch this year. I was quite high on him. One little news and notes thing I was going to ask you about. Did you watch Jack Leiter go yesterday for Texas? How much of that did you see?
I saw bits and pieces. I like the over in the game, which got there. But Leiter also got screwed because the center fielder kind of misjudged a fly ball, and it got ruled as a triple. So he ended up getting three extra earned runs in that start, which would have been the end of the inning. But yeah, I mean, you never know with these first or top overall picks making their first MLB start. It's a massive leap. I'm not going to overreact to it. Same thing with Jackson Holliday, who has become the worst hitter in the entire league. And I feel like, spoiler, he's going to get a lot better over the course of his career. But right now, he's been a mess and everyone's panicking. It's fine. It's his first time up. He'll figure it out. But don't overreact to early struggles for top prospects.
Yeah, but luckily Baltimore can kind of carry Holiday at the moment. I think since he came up last Friday, was it last Thursday? They've gone 6-1. But he's one for 25,
I think.
Yeah, 0.4. Like yeah, he's at zero. So, but it's nice to be able to carry. And I think there's a few more prospects. I've seen more news about Paul Skeens today. He extended his scoreless streak and punched out another eight. So we'll be seeing Skeens soon. And I think there's lots of other rookie names. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but people coming and going all the time. Right. We'll start tomorrow with, I will lead us off. We've got mainly different games, I think, to look at. The first game that caught my eye is actually the first game on the board here. Little bit of baseball. In fact, quite a lot of baseball tomorrow, which is all right. 1:05 Eastern first pitch. And it's the Tampa Bay Rays at the New York Yankees. Zach Eflin going for the Rays. Left-handed pitcher Nestor Cortez for the Yankees. -115 for Tampa. Sorry, +115 for Tampa Bay. -135 for the Yankees. Total is at 8.5. First thing I just noticed, and that's the Rays have quietly made the way to 11-9. And that surprised me, actually, because I would have had them down, I know it's not much, but kind of 500, even a game under 500. They don't, like, I don't remember them putting together a streak, but that's the Tampa Bay Rays all over. They do things very much under the radar. And all of a sudden, they're sitting there two games above 100. Zach Eflin, he's 1-2. He's got a 4.63 ERA. He's had two really good starts, and he's had two really bad ones. So the question is here, do you trust him? He started against the Yankees three times last year. All of the games, he went six innings. He only gave up six earned across all three games and did strike out 24 Yankees in those three starts. So the point is to me, see, he'll be okay. Although I didn't want to factor him into my bet when it came down to it. Cortez has had one great start against Miami and then three bang average starts. The only fly in the ointment here against my pick is that Miami was his only home start. So going at home again, the data's there, but it was Miami. So I don't really know what to make of that. The Yankees are playing well, so, and I'm not sure on Eflin, but I do want to fade Cortez. That was my angle in here. So my pick would be the Tampa Bay Rays team total over, which I'm guessing will be with a total of 8.5, Scott, 3.5 or 4?
Yeah, probably 3.5.
Yeah, so a team total of over 3.5 for the Rays with a little fade of Cortez. Not brave enough to take Tampa Bay just because I'd rather watch Eflin than bet on him at this point. But, so I'll take Tampa to get on the board, scores a few runs here, Scott.
Yeah, part of me is kind of tempted by the under 8.5, actually, just looking at the overall line. It feels a bit high to me. I think that Cortez can pitch decently at home. Tampa's been okay against him in the past. You mentioned that Eflin was successful against the Yankees. Yankees had the nice rally late in that game against Toronto. They almost got swept. The offense was not really that good for the last couple of games. So the Yankees offense, I think, is a little bit overvalued right now. I don't mind the under 8.5, though. I think Cortez, even if he does struggle, he doesn't exactly go much length anyway. They might have a quick leash for him. So if he does struggle, the Yankees bullpen's been solid this season. Tampa's bullpen's been a mess. But I think we both expect that to improve as the season goes on. I don't mind the under 8.5.
Okay. You go next, Scott. Where do you want to take us?
Yeah, so my next game doesn't exactly have a line right now, but I can guarantee you they're going to be underdogs. I'm going to take the Mets with Buto on the mound, probably against Stone. Stone, I don't think is any good, simply put. And I think that you're looking at a spot where, yeah, I think Buto's actually been solid. I think you're just looking at a guy who can be kind of underrated. Nobody really knew who he was, and then the Mets called him up, and he's been really good. So I'll keep backing him. I think that the Dodgers have been overvalued, obviously. They have not been playing good baseball lately. They've lost a couple series. When you lose a series to the Nationals, that's how you know you're overvalued. But I think for the sake of the overall price, I don't know what it's going to be, but the Dodgers will be favored with Stone on the mound. That's good enough for me. I'll fade Stone at plus money. Give me the Mets.
I had the exact same pick, Scott. This wasn't one of the games that I featured when I handicapped it. But the Mets have been scrappy. They have won 4 series in a row now. They didn't play last night at all. So, yeah, the 4 come from behind wins as well. So, putting bits and bobs together. Oh, the Mets, and I just don't trust Stone at all. And we, as you said, we've seen the Dodgers turned over and by the Nationals this week. So I think you'll get a good price on the Mets, yeah? Plus 140, plus 150 maybe, I think. Something. I'll take a little bit of 6-4 about the Mets if there is that price available. Next game I looked at is the Milwaukee Brewers at the St. Louis Cardinals. This game is a 2:15. Eastern first pitch. Left-handed pitcher D.L. Hall draws the start for Milwaukee. And the Lizard King is here. Miles Mikolas goes for St. Louis. So this will be a surprise to no one where I go, because every time Mikolas is on the mound, I pretty much fade him. It's just how I'm going to get there, depending on the opposition and their pitcher. D.L. Hall, he still hasn't quite settled down. He's had 3 short starts, has only gone 12 2/3 across those 3 starts. Has given up 10 earned Three homers he gave up last time against Baltimore. That's the issue. Can Hall keep the ball in the yard? Miles Mikolas last time, his line looks ugly, and it was ugly. He was actually cruising to a point until he wasn't. And that's the problem with Mikolas. He's just very hittable. And even if he strings two or three decent innings together, it doesn't take much for him to unravel. He's very reliant on his defense. He's very reliant on a large slice of luck. I was going to take the overs initially. This total's low. There's loads of 7.5s on this card. There's more 7.5 totals on this card than I've seen all season. There's 7 or 8. But St. Louis are hitting 181 against lefties. So that just swayed me to the Brewers. The Brewers have been going along okay still. They're 6-4 in the last 10. They've scored some runs. So I'm going to take the Brewers here in the first 5. So that's a combination of Fade and Mikolas with that inability of the Cards' offense to hit the lefty, Scott.
Yeah, the only concern I have with Milwaukee is recently the offense has kind of cooled down. They've scored less than 5 runs in 4 straight, less than 4 runs in 3 straight. So hopefully the offense gets going again because they're fun. They're a young team. Of course, they still are going to have a lot of ups and downs the season based on relying on the youth for this roster. But yeah, I agree with you. You mentioned the plus money fading Mikolas. You had me at that point. So I'll fade Mikolas at plus money. The Cardinals being bad against lefties is definitely a nice cherry on top for the actual handicap there. Hoping Hall can piece it together. He won't go long. So if he gives you 4 or so innings and gives up 1 run, you'll take that. That works. And Mikolas might end up pitching some length. He'll get hit a little bit, but I do think Milwaukee can get guys on base. They also steal a lot of bases, and that's kind of the one thing that St. Louis used to pride itself on with Molina, was that they were very good at preventing teams from running. They can't really do that anymore. They're really not good at stopping the run game, and I do think that the Brewers can steal a bunch of bases if they get on. So I definitely don't mind taking the Brewers to steal some bases in this game for player prop angles, and I don't mind the Brewers to win.
Excellent. Randy has joined us in the chat under his weekend name of Natasha. No judgment here, Randy, if that's what blows your skirt up, my friend. The puck drops on the Stanley Cup playoffs this weekend. And the Hockey Gambling Podcast guys have got you covered. Talon, who's a world of fun. Ryan and Joel are breaking down every series leading up to Saturday's opening games. They'll keep the picks and the laughs coming all postseason. Subscribe to the Hockey Gambling Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And they're giving away $200 in cash in our NBA Playoff Round 1 Prop Contest. Sign-up link is in our NBA channel on our Discord. Underdog Fantasy, continue to support us. The easiest place to play fantasy sports. Again, with the NBA Playoffs being here, Underdog Fantasy are making it a lot more exciting. You can pick solely basketball players, or you can mix and match with your other favourite sports and win up to 100 times your money. It's loads of fun. Underdog available in over 30 states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. There's a pick'em special for the Friday playing games, if you're quick. So that'll go live in the lobby. New customers, sign up with our code MLBSGPN. Underdog, double your first deposit up to $100. Underdog Fantasy, promo code MLBSGPN. Scott, where are we going next?
All right, so for the next game, I'm going to go to Philly. I'm going to look at a matchup between the White Sox and the Phillies. For this one, I think I'm just going to go with the Phillies on the run line. Not really going to overthink this one. I just think the White Sox are an abysmal baseball team. Soroka, it's a shame what happened to him because he used to be good, and then he got injured a bunch with Atlanta. But Wheeler's been good this season, and I do think you're looking at, once again, the White Sox being a team that I think is going to lose 120-plus games. I think this team is abysmal. They're extremely injured. There's really nothing to like about this team. So besides their home milkshakes, which apparently are delicious. But for the sake of the actual roster, not very good. Give me the Phillies run line at -130.
Those milkshakes do look good. I've seen a few photos of them. I've got a question for you here, because there was nothing to handicap on this game. It was horrible. You got a $3.5 favorite. I mean, the Phillies haven't been great, to be honest with you, but they don't have to be. So, still calling myself a novice MLB gambler, even though I've done this show for 4 years. With a -350 favorite, what price approximately will Wheeler be to record the win, Scott? Do you think off the top of your head?
I got to assume that's going to be expensive.
Is it going to be as prohibitive?
I'm assuming if Wheeler's around that big of a favorite, probably 150, 160, right, okay. If I had to guess. I mean, that's why I want the run one. I know that they're at home. They might not bat in the ninth inning. $2 differential? $2.20 differential between the money line and the run line? Sounds good to me. That's something you don't see that often. So usually you might get like $1.80 cheaper, $1.60 cheaper. $2 and change, sure. I'll take the Phillies run line minus one. I'll take the Phillies run line to minus 130.
That makes sense. Good advice, Scott. Thank you. Matthew Hennins, hello, mate. How are you? He's up the ladder. Get up the ladder, Matthew. 2.5 and 3.5 on the alt run line in that game for Matthew. Right. Next game I've got is, I've got a little bit of an underdog play here. And it's going to come in the Houston Astros at the Washington Nationals, which is a 4:05 Eastern first pitch. Ronel Blanco, one of the stories of the season so far, goes for the Astros. And Trevor Williams is the starter for Washington. Washington are Houston are minus 190. Washington are plus 160. And the total is 9.5. And Blanco's been brilliant. He has been one of the stories of the season. He had the no-hitter, which was great. He follows it up as well. I think he went 6 scoreless. The two other games he's played, apart from the no-hitter, both against the Rangers, 12 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs. So no holes to be picked in what Blanco's done so far. Williams has gone okay, 2-0 with a 3.45 ERA. He's given up 0 homers, which is important. And he struck out 7 last time, which indicates progress. He seems to be improving. So as well as he started, he does seem to be trending in the right direction as well. So Washington have just won that series at the Dodgers. And the Houston are just a mess. Minus 190 on a 6-14 team. It just doesn't compute in any language. Like, I don't know. Especially these pitches, it's not that egregious. They're 2-5 on the road. I think at some point Blanco has to face the struggle. He's not going to cruise through the entire season. The Washington bullpen's fine, it's okay. I don't mind Williams. Washington are proven to be a little bit scrappy. I think plus 160 is a fine underdog price here. So I would take Washington, Scott.
Yeah, I think scrappy is the right word. And even if the Astros are winning, we've seen Hader, we've seen this bullpen. It's been a disaster. So there's a chance Washington comes from behind and maybe finds a way to get the job done, even if they are trailing early in this game. I don't mind it. I mean, once again, Houston's being prized on reputation. You mentioned Washington being a bit feisty. That's a good word I'd use to describe them. And Williams had a serious issue giving up home runs in years past. And he's been very good at preventing home runs this year. So that seems to be an adjustment that he's made, something that he's focused on, and it's definitely resulted in some positives. Yeah, I don't mind it. I think it's a good price.
Thank you very much, Scott. CJ Abrams is going really, really well as well. He's lots of fun for Washington. And James Woods, I'm looking forward to seeing a little bit. He's another one of those. Oh, yeah, Captain Insano's just joined us. And Jinx, at the same time, he's popped up with the offering of CJ Abrams props as well. Scott, where next?
All right, so for the next game, I think I am going to go to a matchup between the Diamondbacks and the Giants. For this one, I was torn between either Arizona money line at a pretty cheap number of about minus 113, give or take, and I thought about the under, actually. So Arizona money line's around minus 116. The total in this game is set at around 8. I see a flat 8, and I'm trying to figure out which angle I like more. Because Harrison I'm fine with. Of course, I like Gallen a lot. Arizona's been underwhelming. They've been okay, but nothing special. And the Giants, I think we'd agree, are slightly below average. Maybe average, you know, that's kind of what they are.
Yeah.
So I think I'll probably lean to Gallen, maybe first 5. I'm just a big Gallen guy. I think he's going to pitch well. So, yeah, give me Arizona first 5.
Yeah, this just looks like an under. I saw 7.5. If there's 8 kicking around, yeah, I'm delighted with that. We saw this game last night, which is, it's kind of the same game, but last night the Giants had their stud going with Webb. I actually faded him, and it was in very, very incorrect. Webb did what Webb's done four starts in a row now. And the Giants won that 5-0. And that's kind of got the look of this about it, just with the shoe being on the other foot. So, an under eight, perfectly fine. Harrison's been good. Hopefully he can continue. But yeah, I think the Giants are below average, I would say, Scott. Not quite average. So yeah, under. I'll take it under eight if that is available. Okay, next game on the card that I like is the Boston Red Sox at the Pittsburgh Pirates. And this is a 4:05 Eastern Time first pitch, where Cutter Crawford will go for Boston and Mitch Keller gets the start for Pittsburgh. The prices are +105 on Boston and -125 for the Pirates. The total, it's another low one. It is 7.5. And really revolves around Cutter Crawford here. He's been absolutely outstanding. Talked about him a few times on the show. The listeners have been in on him. One earned run across four starts, which is 21 and a third. He's only allowed 9 hits, 0 earned runs with 24 strikeouts. Absolutely outstanding from Crawford. Mitch Keller's been fine. He had 2 bad starts, but has settled in a little bit. Better length, needs to limit his walks. But Boston are good on the road. Pittsburgh were poor this week. I watched Pittsburgh a lot because the games were friendly for my time. And also, I took them in one of those survivor pools. I'm in 2 survivor pools, and I took Pittsburgh, which is a terrible, terrible choice. Unless they sweep, they need to sweep this weekend. So I'm not thrilled about that. And Pittsburgh weren't very good. Boston have been good on the road. But neither offense looks locked in here. Rafael is struggling. I've been watching him for fantasy purposes. The total's low, but I think it's an under. It's an under 7.5, but I wouldn't put you off Boston. Crawford's been flying, and I haven't been very impressed with Pittsburgh this week. So main players are under, but Boston would be a lean of the two sides, Scott.
Yeah, Keller's been good lately. Last 2 starts, 13 innings, 4 total runs allowed. So I do recognize that, but yeah, Crawford's been great. So maybe you can make an argument for a first 5 under based on what you were talking about. Pittsburgh was not good against the Mets at all. They couldn't hit the ball throughout that entire series. And you mentioned it was friendly for your time zone. Yeah, I watched some of those afternoon games. They were really bad at the plate, just simply put. So I don't mind first 5 under. Maybe a Pirates team total under. I don't mind that angle because Crawford's been solid. But I agree. I see a lower scoring game, and I think you're looking at what could be potentially a 4-2 final, give or take. Like, it wouldn't shock me. I don't mind an under, but I'll go with the first 5 under and maybe a Pirates team total under.
Captain Sane was just mentioning the lineup. We talked about this on Wednesday night as well, that Devers had left feeling his hamstring, although he's still been hanging around. And O'Neill,
he's on IL.
Yeah, he didn't. Initially, they said he hadn't a concussion, but he knocked some teeth out, I think. In a collision in the field. So yeah, the Boston lineup scuffling along a little bit. Scott, where are we going?
All right. So for the next game, we're gonna look at a matchup between. I mean, I don't know if I have lines on this because I think it's supposed to be a doubleheader. But I am gonna go We'll go game 2 for the Cubs matchup against the Marlins. And for this one, the Cubs are actually like +120 on the run line in game 2 of the doubleheader. Projected pitching matchup for this one is supposed to be Imanaga against I don't know, and truth is, I don't know, I don't care. Give me the Cubs in this one with Imanaga at around +120 on the run line. He's been great, hasn't given up a run yet. The Marlins are arguably the worst team in the league right now. I don't have anything else to add. They won the first game today, 8-3 in the series. They're just so much better. Imanaga's been great. Cubs are usually very good at Wrigley. Give me the Cubs at +120 on the run line.
Yeah, this is I had nothing at all for this one. I have seen the pitching matchups I think they've updated. Game one is Lizardo. Is this Lizardo against Javier Assad? Lizardo's been struggling, and Assad hasn't. So the Cubs look. I take the Cubs that one. In the second game, Imanaga, yes. And I'm seeing Rodri Munoz going for Marlins. That is all I can tell you about him at that point. I am absolutely out. So, yeah, this was way down my board. It was a doubleheader. There was no lines and there was no pitches. Say the Cubs have turned the Marlins over tonight. Really straightforward. 8-1, it was the last I checked. So, yeah, another uncompetitive evening for Miami Marlins. Scott, I think you had one more game that you were keen on.
Yeah. Do you have any more, or you wanted me? I did one extra than you. Is that what happened?
Yeah, you did one more than me. I'm lazy.
Okay, that's fine. So for this one, I'm going to go to a matchup between the Tigers and the Twins here. Not exactly the best pitching matchup. You have Olsen against Ober, and yeah, give me the plus money. Minnesota's not very good. I know that they won the division last year. The AL Central's always a circus, so you can expect to see the unexpected in these interdivision matchups. But intra-division, however you want to call it, these AL Central matchups, I'm going to go Olsen here. The Tigers are currently 6-2 on the road. They're plus 110. Minnesota 6-11 overall. They're 1-4 straight up at home. Ober's been really bad. Didn't really think too hard about it. It was mostly just getting plus money with arguably the better team. So I'll go with the Tigers to get the job done at plus 110.
I looked at this game because I knew you were going to. It was horrible. Awful to handicap because it was two dodgy pitches. But then on the other side of that, you didn't trust either offense to take advantage. So it was really hard to know which way to go. And at that point, the Tigers was the better option at plus 110. There's nothing, you couldn't put a cigarette paper between either of them, either the pitchers. Ober has the bigger name, but hasn't showed it yet. And they're just two bang average central teams going up against each other. So I'd rather take the plus 110 than the minus 130. Completely agree with you. Okay, we'll have a sniff around the rest of the card. There's quite a few games that are on the board. Let's go first. Where shall we go? What haven't we looked at? I'm going to go 6:10 Eastern, Oakland at Cleveland. Alex Wood taking on Logan Allen. Plus 130 Oakland, minus 167 Cleveland. Cleveland, the offense has been fun. Alex Wood's got nothing to recommend him. They scored 102 runs. I like the Cleveland run line, but then I saw the total 7.5. Just looks way too low. Because Oakland have been chipping in. Oakland have been chipping in a lot. And Logan Allen's not brilliant. So if Oakland can help us out, even with 2 or 3 runs, I think Cleveland can get us the rest of the way there, Scott.
Yeah, part of it actually doesn't mind Oakland money line in this game. Allen has not been reliable at all so far this season. And I think the price is pretty steep. Now, Wood is bad. I'll fully admit that. Logan Allen's 2-0. So he's gotten run support despite having a 5-plus ERA. Minus 165. Oakland's been okay this season. They're 8-11. They're 4-2 on the road. The line just feels steep to me. Maybe Oakland reverse run line, plus 1.5, I don't mind. But that's a lot of juice to be laying with Logan Allen. I think I'd rather look for Oakland, but I don't mind the over. Maybe Oakland team total over in that game.
Yeah, I do. I like Logan Allen, but like you say, he's been frustrating. And teams do seem to be able to get at him. Texas v Atlanta is a good-looking game. That is on the board in terms of pitches and odds. 7:20 start. It is Nathan Eovaldi against Charlie Morton. Plus 125 Texas. Minus 160 with the Braves. Total 9.5. How would you view this one, Scott?
Yeah, for this one, it's a bit tricky because both teams have been fine this season. Atlanta, I think, has been better than Texas, but Texas has been better lately. The offense woke up in that lighter game as they ended up having a high-scoring matchup there. It's really tough because the Braves are the better team right now, but do I really want to be laying 155? Probably not. I'd probably lean Texas. I think Eovaldi's better than Morton, so I guess I'm going Texas first five.
The only thing that disappointed me here was that the total was a little bit high, but obviously the books think the same as me. Uvalde was rocked last time at Houston. I think the same again here. Not necessarily rocked, but Atlanta can get to him for four or five. I think that's reasonable. And Charlie Morton's just been poor and is very much on the decline. So, yeah, 9.5 is big, but two important averages here. I would be taking the over 9.5. We've got a short price favourite in a game between Seattle and Colorado, which goes off at 8:10 Eastern. Luis Castillo in Coors Field against Kyle Freeland, the lefty. And I like the dog here, Scott. -222 for Seattle is far too short against anybody because they haven't really been doing it so far. Colorado are +160. Castillo has been okay. However, when you plumb in his numbers at Coors Field, he's got an 11.27 ERA in Colorado. That's plenty good enough. Freeland had one home start. I know he can be all over the place, but he had one home start against the Diamondbacks. He pitched okay in Colorado 1.75. Is that not a similar game? It's the same game. It's the same game. Colorado win, +160, Scott.
Yeah, and Sano's saying that the game got rained out today, so you might see a pitching change. You mentioned Castillo being decent this season. Wow. You're being pretty generous because Castillo's been awful. He's 0-4 with a 5.82 ERA. He's been really, really bad. So I understand where we're going with this one. I agree, actually. Colorado sucks. I'm not going to tell you right now that this team's any good. This might be the worst team in all of baseball. It's a large money line for a pitcher who historically has been terrible in this ballpark. So I'd probably look for Colorado, maybe a team total. This team can hit, though, which is annoying, but they've only played 6 of their 19 games at home, and we know how bad this team is on the road every year. By the way, Freeland's on IL, so he's not going to play.
So apart from the fact it's rained out and he's on the IL, it was a rock-solid pick, Scott.
Pretty much, but I still like Rocky's team total over because Castillo's been a mess. So I don't mind that angle. Colorado's been really bad, but they're on the road. They're always bad. At home, they're usually more competitive. Give me Rocky's team total over. But yeah, Freeland's not going to pitch. He's on the IL.
Last two games here are off the board, and I'm not sure why. Maybe you can find some odds. We've got the LA Angels at the Cincinnati Reds. Cincinnati are officially TBD, which will be why this is off the board. But I think it's Graham Ashcraft going against lefty Patrick Sandoval. For the Angels, Scott, much on this?
Yeah, give me Ashcraft. I know we both like Ashcraft as a pitcher. I'm not a Sandoval guy at all. I think he's not very good. The Reds have been treading water so far this season. The Angels, you could argue, have been overachieving. But I do think the Reds are still the better team on paper. So give me the Reds.
I actually went the other way here, which I was quite proud of myself because Ashcraft is normally an auto play. But
that's your guy. I thought you were a fan of Ashcraft.
Well, I am, but you always fade Sandoval automatically as well. Ashcraft's one home starts being poor, and I think the main reason I picked him is how you said the Reds have been treading water. The Reds just haven't really got going. And the Angels have. The Angels have been fine. And there's been various games where Mike Trout can pick them and carry them. I haven't seen the prices, but if the Angels were maybe +125, +130, you could talk me into the Halos. And finally, game is also off the board, 8:40. It is the nightcap. It's the Toronto Blue Jays and the San Diego Padres. Jose Berríos for Toronto, San Diego TBD, hence the lack of lines. Yu Darvish going for the Padres, we think.
Berríos has been brilliant. Already?
Sorry?
Darvish went on IL. Is he back already?
Did he? When's all this going on? Why can't Amar?
I thought he went on IL. Did I make that up? I thought he did.
I don't know yet.
Yeah, he's on the IL with neck tightness. That was about 2 days ago, so he's not pitching.
All right, well, my probable pitcher list on Fantasy Pros has Yu Darvish pitching. Darvish was placed on the 15-day IL. So they've got that as the news, and they've still got him pitching. Brilliant. Well done, everybody. Right, okay, then. Well, I've got bugger all on this, Scott. I am out on this game. Although Berrios has been great, and he's been great against good opposition. He's faced tricky opposition, Berrios, and he's something for the Blue Jays to hold on to at the moment. I did have the Blue Jays first five down. I don't really know who the Padres can throw that would make me change my mind on that, although the odds would be different.
Yeah, I'm going to lean to Toronto. You mentioned that. Truth is, I don't even care if Darvish was pitching. I don't think Darvish is any good anymore. I think he's past his prime. No. It is what it is. He was not very good last year, especially in the back half, and I don't think Darvish has much left in the tank. But anyway, for Berrios, he's been great. I know the Blue Jays paid him a lot of money, and he's finally pitching like it because he's 3-0 with a 1.05 ERA and a 0.97 whip. Now, Toronto is a head case team. They are every year. They had won a decent amount of games in a row, but then they ended up choking away that game late to the Yankees in the series finale. Still like how they're playing in general. I think Toronto's been up and down. They're 10-9. San Diego's 11-10. It's kind of the same script every year for these two damn teams. But I think the Toronto should be a cheap price for Berrios.
These are absolutely my two head case teams. If I was to make a list of the teams I trust least, these two would be first and second, although I'm not sure which order. And I'd put Yu Darvish. I was to make a picture list. Yu Darvish up there, because I always get him wrong, so I'm quite happy to not see him. Okay, Scott, nice. 15 games in the book in a timely manner with our best bets. Let's throw out a lock and a dog. Where do you want to start?
All right, so for my lock on the show, sorry, I'm just doing the time codes. For the lock on the show, decent amount that I actually liked on the card. I got to figure out what I want to go with. All right, you know what? For the lock, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel here. Give me the Phillies -1.5 at -130 against the White Sox. White Sox are a Triple-A team. I can't even say they're disguising themselves as a Major League Baseball team because they're not. They're just arguably the worst team in the entire league. It's them and the Rockies right now and the Marlins that are kind of fighting it out for who's the worst out of all three. The White Sox might be leading, so just keep that in mind. But give me the Phillies. Yes, they've been underwhelming so far the season for their own standards. They're still light years ahead of Chicago, and Wheeler's still really, really good. Soroka is not a great pitcher. I'm assuming Philly's seen him before because he was on the Braves. They probably have seen him before. I'll fade Soroka. I'll fade this terrible organization. Give the Phillies -1.5 and -130 is my lock.
They just signed Tommy Pham, though, the White Sox. That's going to surely project them to the top of the...
That's going
to
help them with their fantasy football leagues. It's not going to help them win baseball games, you know?
Yeah. Was it him and Jock Pederson who were scrapping on the pitch?
Yeah.
Who hit who? Pederson hit Pham.
I thought Pham hit Peterson because Pham was commissioner and he didn't like one of the trade things that was happening in the fantasy league. So I think Pham hit him because he was the commissioner of the fantasy league. That was my understanding.
I love shit like that. My lock, I was just having a look up and down then, and I really like that over 7.5 in Oakland at Cleveland. I don't trust Wood. I don't trust Logan Allen. But the two offenses have been fine. Like you say, Cleveland scored a lot of runs and Oakland can chip in as well. So the 7.5 just looks a hair too low. And for my underdog, I'm going to take the Nationals. Houston are rubbish. They're not rubbish. They're playing rubbish. Blanco, at some point, he's not going to cruise through the rest of his life. He's going to hit some choppy waters at some point. And Washington have been feisty with Williams. So Washington at +160. Did you give us your underdog, Scott? You didn't, did you?
Yeah, I realize I thought we were going to alternate locks and then dogs, but you got overeager. So anyway, going back to my dog, I don't have a price, but give me the Mets. I just think this line's going to be off. Either Stone's pitching for the Dodgers or some other guy who I don't exactly trust. Dodgers, though, have really not been playing good baseball lately. And don't look now, but the Mets have been pretty good recently. A lot of come-from-behind wins. They've shown a lot of overall mental toughness. They're 10-8, though. I mean, they started the year about 0-5, 0-6, so they've been in good form. Dodgers, though, just to go through the actual results recently, they lost a series to the Nationals, lost a series to the Padres. They've lost 5 of their last 7, and they're probably laying a decent price here. Give me Buto. Buto's been good. Give me the Mets.
Yep, that's fine with me, Scott. Like it a lot. Done, everybody. Thank you. Randy / Natasha and TVDBJ just about made it late doors. Captain Insano here as well. Callum, who was first in early on. Thanks for all of that. Scott, is it just a fierce weekend of NBA, tennis, MLB betting this weekend?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm going to have to do a tennis podcast in a little while, so it's going to keep me busy.
Good times. The Premier League show is out. FA Cup semi-finals this weekend. See if Manchester City can stay in this competition, Scott, after going out the other night.
To be fair, every single Premier League team got their asses kicked in their competition over the weekend. Liverpool won their match, but they got eliminated anyway. Aston Villa got eliminated in extra. They won, right?
Villa won on penalties, yeah.
Apologies. They ended up winning. I forgot they won in pens. So I take that back. But Man City also lost, despite Real not getting a shot on target after the 13th minute. So, yeah, not the greatest overall week for Premier League club teams.
That was brilliant for people like me and Barry. You just want everyone to get beat except Newcastle.
I had a same-game parlay which cashed. I had Rodrigo first half shots, and I had his shot on target. So that worked out well. Yeah. So, but
I know we very much enjoyed everyone getting knocked out. That was great. Yeah, Bob's got a cup final in the morning. We've got the County Cup final, Scott, at lunchtime tomorrow, so that should be exciting. Matthew, I forgot about. Cheers, Matthew. Right, enjoy the rest of the weekend, Scott. Good luck with all of whatever you're doing. We'll be back on Sunday night in some guise or other. And until then, we will see you down the road. Cheers.